great to see some smiling faces in the house, the hearts of kids that have come to praise. I love that. Love having Zaya and Alex here with us in person and our online family. P3, I know you're there. I see you. Sydney, the rest of you guys, we're so glad you're with us. Hey, I want to just welcome you guys to week three of rebuilding. We began this series, let me see, I'm trying to find my space a little bit here. We began this series this is our third week, as we look through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah at what it means for us to rebuild. And first, in those first four weeks, really through the book of Ezra, because before they could rebuild the foundations and the walls of the city, they had to rebuild the foundations and rebuild the temple. And so for us as a people, where we are as a church, where we are as a nation, where we are in our own lives with everything that's going on, before we can do the other stuff, we have to make sure that our foundations of our faith are solid. We have to make sure that we have the altar in place, right? Our relationship with God, and then the foundations of the temple. Now, last week, we really looked at that through the lens of Ezra chapter 3 and 4, and we really looked at how they laid the altar and the foundations of the temple. We unpacked that through our own personal faith, and then we unpacked that as the Big C Church, right? How are we doing as the Big C Church at that? And that's important because we need to understand that the church in America is kind of at a crossroads. We're more divided than ever, and God is calling his church to be together, and we fit into that. So we have to understand the big picture. But beyond that, we need to look and unpack this through the lens of Bridge Church. Who has God called us to be? Who has God called this church in this space, in this time, in this community to be? And so we want to look at some of those foundations. I'm going to take a pause and say, I think Julian can hear me. Julian, if you can't find those, it is okay. I set Julian out to go look for my reading glasses because I set them down somewhere. And so we're going to, oh, Mr. Legacy has them in the back in the booth. Well, that's awesome. No, I'm good. So we're going to get through this together. Side note, because we're all human, right? Like, we just gotta laugh sometimes at what it is and how it is. I was like, are they on my head? No, they're not in my pocket. We're just gonna roll with it. So for us as the church, what are our foundations? What are the foundations of Bridge Church? And so even in our reading this week in Ezra chapter 5, you've all been enjoying the reading plan?
Amen.
Like our Bridge Builder, been enjoying the reading plan, right? And so in Ezra chapters 4 and 5, there's just all this strife going on. Like, new kings are coming into power, and the people are, like, getting challenged. The adversaries to Israel are challenging them and, you know, trying to tell them they can't rebuild the temple when the other king said they could rebuild the temple, and all that's happening. And so in Ezra chapter 5, basically their adversaries, the ones trying to stir up trouble and strife, come in and basically say, who are you and what do you think you're doing? Mm-hmm. And they reply. And I'd actually like you to read Ezra chapter 5, verse 11 with me, get where everybody can see. You guys ready?
Yep.
Online, you ready? Ezra chapter 5, verse 11 says, this is the answer they gave us. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. And we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that the great king of Israel built and finished. They challenged them with, who are you and what do you think you are doing? And their response was, we're the servants of God, and we're doing what God has called us to do. And as I read that one, I was so encouraged because for centuries, they had gotten it wrong. For centuries, they had just been so messed up, so focused on who their kings were instead of who their God was, that they missed the blessing of who their God was. But now they get it, and they're like, we are the servants of God, and this is what we are here to do. And then the second thing that struck me was, would we answer that quickly? Mm-hmm. When people ask me who I am, and what am I doing? What is my response? And would I be so quick to say, I am a servant of God and I am doing what he's called me to do. And then as a pastor, with us as a new church, in a new place, have I equipped you to be able to say, we are servants of God and this is what God has called us to do. Amen. So even as I felt like we needed to spend this week revisiting 3 and 4, chapters 3 and 4, through the lens of us as a church, individual bridge church, like in my reading, it just kept getting affirmed, like we need to know who we are and we need to know what it is that God has called us to. And so I want to just establish, as we this morning are going to go through our core values, bridge church values, who are we? What are we doing? What has God asked us to do in this time and space? That all of our values go back to the fact that we are servants of God. Last week in Ezra 3, if you'll remember, in 2 and 3, I just said there's a bunch of guys because there's like all these really hard names, right? There's a bunch of guys. And they began to build the altar of God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses. Because of the fear of the people around them, they built the altar on its foundations and they sacrificed on it. You guys remember that from last week? We talked about what that meant for us as a church, as a nation, what that meant in our own individual faith. But the altar represented their relationship with God. The altar wasn't about the rest of the people. The altar wasn't about the community. The altar was about their individual relationship with the God of heaven and earth. And so as they focused on their relationship with God, in our values, the first values I want to bring to you today are the values that focus on our relationship with God, because it's all got to be grounded in that. And from the beginning of this series, we've said that it's all built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Everything we do is built in relationship with him. Jesus himself in the parable, you know, the wise man built his house upon a rock and the foolish man built his house upon a sand. So before we can build temples, before we can build walls, not to keep people out, but before we can build the city, that's what it represented, right? Building up their city, building up their infrastructure. We got to make sure that it's all on Jesus. And so Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves, but it is a gift from God. It is not by your works, so that no one can boast. So even as we unpack our values as a church today, please know that every single thing we have is founded on the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ by grace through faith, that none of us could do it. We can't work hard enough. We can't do enough. We can't be enough. And as we look internally and externally at the world, they can't do enough, be enough, or any of that. And we don't get to boast because it is all God. It is all the saving work of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. And so with that, what are the foundations of our altar? What are the things that we as Bridge Church value? If you go to the website and you pull up our values page, you know what to expect or who we are, what will you see? And so first and foremost, We value God's word, right? Actually, I want you to read this. You guys ready to read some, get some things ingrained in our hearts as we step forward as a church? So I want you to read this with me. We value God's word. We are committed to be a biblically based body of believers relying on God's word for teaching, correcting, leading, and encouragement. We're not going to go through all those verses, by the way. If you're a note taker, if you want to dig deeper, every one of our values is founded on a principle of truth that is throughout the whole context of Scripture. I couldn't list enough Scriptures up there for this. So just to let you know, we're not covering 87 Scriptures this morning. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, but we're going to hit a few, but the list of some of them are there if you want to go back and dig in a little bit more later. I actually want to read the foundation of this from the Message version in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And I'm going to read from the Message because it speaks to the heart and the meaning for so long this book was by the Pharisees and now often is used to beat people over the head. It's used as legalism. It's used as some thing that's heavy and burdensome. And so the message in its translation really captures the heart of this text. And so I just want you to listen to this. There is nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us up to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has given us. God's word is not meant to shame. God's word is not meant to humiliate. God's word is not meant to be a ball and chain around our ankles that we can't drag ourselves to live a life that is joy-filled and faith-filled and amazing.
Yes.
God's word is meant to train us up. Yes, to correct us where we're wrong. Yes, to show us the way, but to invite us through the living word to walk with God, to live an abundant life in Him. Because remember, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come that we may have life and have it to the full. In being and valuing God's word, we're not just committed to being a biblically based body of believers, but we're also committed. I think we have another slide. Second commitment statement. Yeah. You guys ready? We are committed to living God's word by learning what it means and doing what it says. As a church and a body of believers, our foundation can't just be to know the word. Our foundation can't just be to quote the word. Our foundation can't just be to take a Bible that is this thick and drum it over someone's head. The world is going to come to know the word by how we live it. The world is not going to be in a tough spot in life, in a tough spot in the marriage. Let me get a little close. Your coworker at work is not going to be in the throes of an addiction or an affair or something else that's happening in their lives and go, gee, those Christians that have always judged me, I think I'm going to open up their book and see what it says and tells me to do about this crisis in my life. Not going to happen. Your coworker, your neighbor, your children, my children, our children who watch us, they're going to come to know and get an invitation to God's word or see that God has an answer and a solution and a joy and a healing and a hope for their lives because of how we live that word out. So if I say I am in a relationship with a God who is full of grace and compassion, but somebody does something at work and I hold an offense for 3 weeks and make a big stink in the office, what do they think of Jesus? James says you can't just be hearers of the word. You have to be doers. That's right. You got to be doers of the word. And so church, we're committed to that. And that isn't meant to be like something we can't achieve. That is what we do together. It's what we do in our bridge builders groups. It's why we examine the scripture, the text, and see what it says. Because living it out brings life, not death. Living it out actually pushes out darkness and brings light to our life. Amen? We are also, and you can read behind me, we are also committed to demonstrate and teach how the application of God's word brings abundant life in marriages, finances, parenting, and everything else. Folks, I've already said it's not about using the Bible to yell at people about what they're doing wrong. But it's about using the Bible to teach them how to do it right. It's not about pressing things into you to restrict you as Christians. That's not what God does for us. He actually opens doors and brings hope and brings healing and brings solutions. And so we are committed to teaching that when your finances are out of control, your credit cards, you're about to file bankruptcy, you don't know what to do. Teaching that, you know what? God's word actually says a lot about how to manage your finances. Like, let's get out of this mindset that this word only teaches us how to sing hymns and pray and be good little Christians inside the church. Oh, I guess nobody ever felt like that. I guess these young adults sitting over here never felt like they were getting dragged to church just so they could be told how to behave in church. Maybe you guys didn't. I did. That's how I felt when I got dragged to grandma's church. But guys, it's so much more. When your finances are bound up and you're in debt up to your eyeballs, these principles set you financially free. We've been there, done that, lived that. Everything's paid off now. Praise God. That's not because of us. That's because we followed the word. When your marriage is in shambles, this word teaches you how to put it back together. When your kids don't know how, when your work life, when you are facing addiction, it's all here. And we can't just tell people that. We got to live it. We got to demonstrate it. And we have to invite them into it. And so that is a solid, solid foundation for us as we value God's word. And that is key to our altar, key to our relationship with God as a church. As a church, I just can't offer you every little self-help program that comes in the door. I got to give you God's word and things built on that that are going to help. So it's not enough just to value God's word. We have to value God's Spirit. Would you read with me? We value God's Spirit, desiring to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered body of believers. We have to be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. It's not enough to do it on our own. Jesus said, I'm going to go because there's someone coming that's going to help you even more than me. The Son of God. God himself said, I have a better helper for you. Because while I'm here, you're limited to me in your presence, but I have a helper that's going to come and live and dwell in your heart. And so we don't want the Holy Spirit to be an accessory. We want the Holy Spirit to drive, lead, and guide and empower us to live more freely, to live in righteousness. And so in that, we've got a couple scriptures, but actually, read with me. We are committed to taking a posture of prayer and humility, listening for and following God's leading through faith, obedience, prayer, and unity within the body. I want to leave that. We are committed to taking a posture of prayer. We're committed to prayer. Prayer is a foundation for leading us in God's will, in God's life, in God's Spirit, in our lives. We have to be committed to a posture of prayer because it is our relationship with God. It is our conversation with God, and it's our invitation to the Spirit that we're there to be obedient. We're there to grow. We're there to be unified with God. You see, when we live a Spirit-empowered, Spirit-filled life, we're not resisting God in our lives. We're being drawn into. We're not resisting solutions. We're being drawn into. We're not fearful of what's to come because we have the Spirit in our hearts telling us it is going to be okay. Spirit-led. I'm going to pause right there and say, I am so thankful for those who were here in person and online Tuesday night to spend a time of prayer for our leaders and our nation. And I know that was a really last minute thing that we did, but it was a powerful time. Wasn't the best tech time. Next time we do a prayer meeting, we won't do live and Zoom. We're not there yet. Didn't work. That's all on me. But despite technology, we had a powerful time of prayer. And the Holy Spirit led us in that. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know how far we're going to get as God's witnesses without the Holy Spirit? Not far. You know when you're trying to break a habit on your own? How far do you make it? When you're trying to do something, I remember being a parent of young ones and toddlers and being like, I will not yell at my children today. I will not yell. I will use my inside voice and go. And before breakfast was over, amen. Yes. Yeah, That's about how far we get when we try to do this church thing without the Holy Spirit leading us. So there's a bunch of verses there. The roles of the Spirit, the advocate, he teaches us and he reminds us of what we've learned. And he testifies about Jesus. And so we have to be Spirit-led. Now, we've got Spirit and Word, right? We value Spirit and Word. And it was Pastor Mo who I first heard say this, and it has been such a guiding principle for me in my faith walk and the churches we've worked in and led in and served in. All Spirit, actually, let me back up. All Word, no Spirit, you dry up. All this, no Spirit, quickly turns into legalism. Mm-hmm. Quickly turns into a rule set we can't keep up with. Quickly turns into judgment we can't handle. On the other side of that, that makes us dry up. All Spirit, no Word, and we blow up. Mm-hmm. We become hyper-spiritual. We're so busy chasing the Spirit's leading, and God is going, yeah, well, I gave you, directions for 95% of your life are right here in this book, but you're not in this Word. You're just chasing a spiritual experience, and the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in this Word like he dwells in your heart. And so we can't have all Word and no Spirit, but we also can't have all Spirit and no Word, because we don't want to have all Word, no Spirit dry up. We don't want to have all Spirit, no Word blow up. We want to have this balance of Word and Spirit so that we grow up. Guys, we got to have that balance. We got to have that balance so that we can grow up. Are we good, church? Are we good? That's what we found our relationship in God with in this church. That's our altar as we look at our foundation. And we saw in the book of Ezra, first they set the altar in place, but then they needed to set at least the foundations of the temple in place, right? And remember, that was a little countercultural to us, because normally you don't start a building by building what's in the middle of the building. You normally start a building by the walls. But they knew the most important thing was their relationship with God, and that was going to keep them straight. And then they laid in the foundations of the temple. They laid in the foundations of the walls. So what are those values that we as Bridge Church hold up to be the foundations of our walls, to be the foundations of our church when we're got the altar set and we're looking out at what God has called us to do? Now, I got to tell you, there's a lot of wrestling that takes place, because everything in this Word is true. Everything in this Word is a foundation, right? Everything is there. But each church can't be everything. Each church can't have every mission in the Scripture. And so for the 8 months when Pastor Rick and I were called to Indian Head and called to plant a church here, until we had our first meeting with any of the people to invite them in, to tell them about it, and to ask them to join in a prayer team. That's what we did first, gather 100 people to pray so we can do this. In that 8 months, God highlighted several things to us that have become foundational to who we are and what we value as a church. And so as we look at this and ask the question, what are the biblical foundations we're building Bridge Church on? Then we begin to look at those foundations of the temple. And first and foremost, you guys read with me. We value all people as the handiwork of God created in his image. We value all people as the handiwork of God. Genesis says that in the beginning, God created mankind in his image. Male and female, he created them. Guys, we're all equal. God created everyone. As a matter of fact, many of us know John 3:16 and 17, and I think they've got it to put on the screen if I didn't drop the slide in the wrong place. But it says, You know, well, actually most of us quote John 3:16 and we miss John 3:17, and that would fix a whole lot of church hurts if we paid as much attention to the verse that came after. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Guys, God did not, wait, actually back it up one for me, please, to the first part. For God so loved the church, for God so loved his followers, for God so loved the Israelites, for God so loved the world. All the people created in his image, male and female, no matter what or who, all people, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son into the world, not to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Guys, as a church, we're committed to helping all people understand that they are seen and known and loved by God. And so to do that, we have to value all people as the handiwork of God created in his image. We can't pick and choose who we value. We can't pick and choose who we appreciate. We have to value them all. And we see that in the whole series that we did as we launched as a church, were encounters with Jesus. Jesus went to the all people. Jesus went to the crippled. Jesus went to the demoniac. The demoniac didn't even live in a Jewish community. The demoniac lived in the Gentile community. He lived with the heathens, and they wouldn't entertain him. They were afraid of him. That's who Jesus went to. Jesus didn't just go in the synagogues. Jesus went out everywhere seeing people, knowing people, and loving people. He valued everyone, and we have to hold that true. Because I do not want someone, God forbid, someone who has heard they are seen and known and loved by God walk in here and experience anything but that. And so we are absolutely committed to loving all people who walk through this door. We good? We are also committed, let's see, seen and known and loved by us. And then next slide, please. I jumped one on them. We are committed to being a healthy, multi-ethnic church. What does that mean? Everybody. Thank you, Bradley. Everybody. It means that we are committed to having difficult conversations. It means that we are committed to listening, because God doesn't love one race or another race. God loves all races. And my experiences might be mine and they might be predominant in my life, but that doesn't make them the right experiences. Like, together we will be stronger, and that means having conversations in our Bridge Builders groups. It means exploring different avenues of worship. It means honoring every race, every person that comes through this door, and every believer that's a part of this body. Every Jesus follower that's a part of this body has equal voice into who we are, how we're shaped, what we look like, how we sing, all those things. But that has, y'all, that's not easy. You can't have a New Englander and a person from Georgia in the same room and have a conversation and not feel the division in the room, right? And then you add in that we have people from different races and different generations, and that is the picture of the church that God has. But it takes intentionality, it takes patience, it takes listening, and it takes loving people well. It takes loving them and what they bring more than I love my own voice and my own opinion. But maybe that's just me. I'm gonna leave that alone for a minute. We value relationships. Actually, read with me. As a church, we value relationships, not building relationships to accomplish the mission, but knowing our mission is building relationships with God and others. Pastor Jen, that's a tongue twister. What do you mean by that? You guys, we have to value the building of relationships with the community out there more than we value getting the community in our building or in our tithe box or in our corner. You know, churches so often are so excited. It doesn't come in the wrong place. But who are we? Who has God called us to be? Because the tendency is to be like, I'm here in the community to offer you Jesus, and if you don't want Jesus, I'll see you around. And that's not what God calls us to. Sometimes I feel like we're the concessions guy at the baseball game, you know, Jesus, Jesus, get your Jesus. I'm not coming to you. If you don't want what I have to offer, I'm just going to ignore you over there because you're not saying yes. The world is going to know they're seen, known, and loved by God when they see they're seen, known, and loved by us. And that cannot depend on their immediate response to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, newsflash, we might make some friends in this community that never believe in Jesus, and they still need to know that they are seen and known and loved by God, and they'll know that by our actions and our love for one another and our love for them. And so we can't pick and choose. We have to focus on relationship. We have to. And in focusing on relationship, we're committed. All right, I know you're ready. You're ready to read. We are committed to walking in authentic love for God and others, demonstrated through generous engagement with our community outward, and relationship in Christian community and group discipleship inward. So we have two elements to that, right? We're committed to walking and demonstrating authentic love for others, and that's how we are out there, and that's grounded in love, and that's grounded in just generosity. By the way, quiz, does anybody know that Bridge Church is an acronym? Raise your hand if you know if Bridge is an acronym. Bridge, actually, I think we have it up there or somewhere in the slides. If they can't find it, it's okay. Bridge Church, Bridge, stands for Building Relationships, Intentional Discipleship, and Generous Engagement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first part of who we are, BR, Building Relationships. We got to build relationships out there. And that can't be based on someone's response to Jesus, Jesus, get your Jesus. It's got to be in response to love. It's got to be intentional. And then we have intentional discipleship. That's where we focus. We're committed to relationship and walking in Christian community together. It's what our bridge builders do. It's what we do in a prayer meeting. It's what we do when we have a prayer meeting for our leaders of our nation. And in that prayer meeting, our people in the middle and our really strong Republicans and our really strong Democrats. But we all come together to pray for our leaders as God called us to, outgoing and incoming. We come together because being in the church comes first. We come together, and in that, there's some growth. There's a commitment to relationship with people who don't think, vote, act, look like you. But we're committed to that. Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, do nothing, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. So we value those relationships. We also value community. And what does that mean for us in a new church, in a new place? Like, there's a lot of people that say they value community. So when I was like, we value community, God and the Holy Spirit were like, tell me what that means. I hear your words, Jen, but tell me what it means when I tell you to value community. What does that look like? And so read with me. We value community. The opportunity to be present and active representation of God's love in Indian Head. We value that God put us here. There's a community that needs to know the love of God, and we should not ever take it for granted that we get to be here, that we get to love on a community that's been forgotten and neglected, that we get to love on a community that's been ignored by the rest of the county, that we get to love on a community that has got a mean average income, annual income, $40,000 less than the whole rest of the county, but gets treated like they should do everything else that everybody in the county does. We value them. We have to value them. And how do we do that? Well, we do that with some commitments. We're committed to meeting our community where they are rather than expecting our community to meet us where we are. We can't say we value community, but only if you walk in the doors of the church. We can't say we value community and we'll give backpacks to your kids if you come to our church. We can't say we value community and we have a food pantry if you attend our church. You see, we have to get out there. We have to care enough that we are willing to, maybe do a trunk or treat. Maybe do something that as a church we wouldn't normally do, but that is the one venue, the one avenue in COVID where all the children in the community were going to gather together in this drive-through trunk or treat. And we had the opportunity to love on over 600 cars of kids. We had the opportunity to give them little bags, and inside their candy bag talked about a paper that said, "You're loved, you're valued, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're known, you're important, you're valued." And every kid got one because we were willing to meet the community where they were at. We meet the community where they're at in food distribution every week. We have a faithful group of volunteers. If you have a couple hours on a Wednesday to give every other week or every week, we hand out food. And you know what I love? How much our volunteers get this, how much our family, I don't want to call you guys volunteers, your family, how much you get it. Twice now with two different food distribution volunteers, I have been with them and they have seen someone walking because we've been in the new office spaces doing a lot of work. And both these individuals saw somebody walking and they were like, "Oh, that's the guy that blah, 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 blah," all these nice things about him. Or, "Oh, I know. Oh, that's that young man." They have not just handed out food. They have valued people enough to learn their names and their story, to let them know they're seen and they're loved. That is what we are here for. So when we say we value community, as we move forward, we're going to come out of this pandemic. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to get there. And as we come out of this pandemic, we will press much harder. We'll have the freedom to press much harder into this as the Mothers of Preschoolers group is getting ready to stand up and reach into the community for moms who need a hand up. As we partner with Catherine Foundation to young moms and dads who need a hand up. All those things, those are what we are about because God has called us to meet the community where they are. We are also committed to creating opportunities and spaces of common ground for the community to come together. It can't just be get them in the church. When next year, hopefully, actually, I guess it's this year. We're in 2021. Hopefully, we'll have 4th of July again. Like, if you don't know, in this community, right across in the park, the base does this huge 4th of July thing. It's a big deal. You better believe if they have it, we will be there handing out cold water and greeting people and doing whatever we can to support the town. We have to create spaces. As we are able to do outreach events, we will do outreach events that invite everyone in that are safe spaces for them to come because they don't know who we are. Maybe they have never known God. Maybe they have never known a Christian that they liked, or maybe they have known some Christians and they've been so hurt that church, a building, a place is not a safe space. And we have to be committed to those safe spaces out there. We have to be committed to half the customers at Clarity that know who we are and we have conversations with because we value that community. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few." Guys, Jesus had to be in the crowds to see the crowds. Jesus had to know them and value them to have compassion on them. And so when I say we value community, we got to be like Jesus and be out there amongst people to have compassion and walk alongside them. So, last value statement. It's a big one. You guys ready? Oh, that was weak. I said it's the last value statement, you guys. Come on. Coffee and lunch are around the corner. No, actually, we got something special for you guys. All right, read with me. We value freedom and equality in Christ, recognizing that our true freedom is in Jesus. And as the church, we do not have to be a people for or against any people group, race, political party, public figure, or other label. We simply must be people for God. Yeah, this is the big one, right? Like, this is what we've been talking about. As a church, we champion Jesus. As a church. As believers, if I feel so led, am I supposed to go be involved in a political party, be supportive of a political party, be supportive of a movement? Yeah, absolutely. We want God's voice in every movement across the country. But as a church, we have one mission. The Great Commission, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We champion Jesus. And in championing Jesus, we recognize that the freedom and equality that Jesus brings to everybody and everything. Galatians 3:28, in Christ, there is no Jew nor Gentile, no slave nor free, no male nor female, for you are all one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are committed to valuing our position in Christ more than any other position we hold. All the other things we do have to rest on Jesus. Exodus 20, verse 3, from the beginning, God said, "Have no other gods before me. Have no other idols." Little g god equals idols. Have no other idols before me. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do," and whatever you do for the church, and whatever you do on Sundays, no, "in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Guys, this is not just political. Not at all. You know when God smacked me the most with this verse? He didn't smack me. I ran up hard against a brick wall because I was being stubborn. When the moment when my position in Jesus takes over every other position I hold, when it got real for me, was in the midst of a heated custody battle, co-parenting my youngest son. And God said, "You're both Christians. Ask your ex-husband to open your conversation in prayer." I'm just going to tell you, I didn't want my position in Christ to come first in that moment. Not one bit. But it says, in all things, in everything you do, when you're having a dispute at work, when you're struggling with an addiction, when you're struggling with whether to buy something new or buy a new fancy thing or do something that you're supposed to be doing, in all things. I've said, I think the best way to understand this, and our men and women in uniform get this, like when you're in the service, you're wearing your uniform all the time, even when you're not, right? Like you are. And as Christians, we never take that uniform off. Wherever we go, we're wearing the rank of Jesus. And this whole thing about, well, I'm not going to put a fish on my car because I'm a bad driver. In all things, clean up your driving. Be a nice driver. In all things, on the beltway. In all things, on the beltway. In all, I did. Because God did. When I was getting ready to go off at somebody driving behind me, God was like, you need a fish on your car to represent me? Oh, no. In all things. We're also committed to sharing the hope that we have in Christ, which invites others to redemption, restoration, and wholeness. All the other stuff that we've talked about matters and is important and leads up to 1 Peter 3:15 that says, always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask for the reason for the hope that you have. And that's a whole lot of words in there. In other words, always be ready to tell people why you're hopeful, why your life is different. The key is they have to ask. And if we don't do any of the other stuff, they're never going to ask. Do I go to somebody? Yeah, are you going to go to a financial planner that's driving a 15-year-old car that needs new tires and a new muffler? No. Are you going to trust them to handle your money and they can't handle their own money? Are you going to go to someone who is a train wreck and ask them to help you get organized? Are you going to go to a hoarder to ask them how to organize your closet? It's quiet. Y'all, really? Like, are you going to do that? Because I'm not going to do that. If you're going to do that, come see me. I'll send you a better place to go ask those questions. People aren't going to ask us if we why we have hope if we don't have hope. People aren't going to ask us about Jesus if we aren't nice to be around. People aren't going to ask us how we know we're seen and known and loved by God if we haven't shown them they're seen and known and loved by God. And so we have to do these things to be able to be the church that God has called us to be. So who are we, Bridge Church? What are we doing? Who are we? We're people that are seen and known and loved by God. What are we doing? We're here to love God and let other people know that they're seen and known and loved by God. We are a church committed to building relationships, to intentional discipleship, being disciples who make disciples, and to generously engaging with the world around us instead of holding up and expecting everything to come to us. We are God's servants, and we are committed to being the bridge that God has called us to be between the world and his love. Amen. That's who we are. We got the foundations laid. Many of you weren't here for soft launch. You've not heard our core values. You didn't walk through our pre-launch series that explained every one of these. And as much as we try to layer them into things, it's important that we know, because as we go on with the last week of building the temple and what that looks like, and then into Nehemiah, which, by the way, is the best leadership book, one of the best leadership books on the planet in the book of Nehemiah, and it happens to be in Scripture about how to rebuild your life, how to lead well, how to do all those things. But we got to do that based on this. We got to have those foundations solid. I'd like you to read Ezra 3, 10, and 11 with me. I think we've got that. If not, I'll read it for you. I was juggling slides. The tech crew loves me so much. So much. Are we good? Okay. Read with me. We'll hope they're in order. If not, it's my fault. I moved the slides. So, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. Go on to 11. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Church, and with the foundation laid, we praise God. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me while we bring the worship team up? Father God, we come before you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you have given us a solid rock to build our house upon. We thank you that you have called us by name, that we can see and know and love others because you see and know and love us, and you are teaching us in your love for them to see and know and love them. We thank you that we have freedom and equality in you. We thank you that you have given us a community that we can value. We thank you, God, that you have given us the foundation of your word and your spirit to grow us up. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you, God, for the relationship that we have with you and with the world. Jesus, you said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws, everything we do hinges on that. Father, thank you that before it all, you saw that we would be people in a crowd, lost like sheep without a shepherd. And from the beginning, Jesus was our plan to redemption. By your grace and through our faith, Jesus, we proclaim your name. We praise you and we worship you. Thank you that you have called and spoken Bridge Church into being. And thank you for every life, every person, every heart that is a building block with Christ as the cornerstone, that is a building block for this house. In Jesus' name, amen.